Chair, as mentioned, folks, we are going to ask the mayor to come in to give us his State of the City address. I'm going to ask that if we, I don't see any members of our school committee that are here, I was going to ask them to sit inside the rail if they would like, but I don't see anyone. At this time, I'm going to ask that our escort committee, consisting of Councilor Laredo, who will chair the escort committee, Councilor Danberg, Councilor Crossley, and I believe Councilor Ciccone. I saw him standing near the mayor's office. He's the fourth member of our escort committee. I will ask them to please go out and get the mayor and come on back in. I did want to recognize, I saw former Mayor Cohen here earlier, and I apologize for not recognizing him earlier. I think, hey, Mr. Mayor. Only if you wish me happy President's Day. He's trying to think of something to say. I can see it coming. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. All right. And as we usually used to have our great colleague, Councilor Salvucci, tell a joke at this time, but seeing that I could never top that, I'm not going to try to even attempt. Oh, no thanks. That's okay. That's all right. I will ask our escort committee to, and ask everyone to please rise if we could. And I will recognize I hope this doesn't mean they're going to cheer for him again after we recognize him. I'll recognize the chair of our escort committee, Councilor Laredo.
Good evening, everyone. I was under no illusions that the crowd was here for my last State of the City address. It's great to be with you this evening. I want to start just by acknowledging what happened here just a few minutes ago and thank the council, the many activists and community members that came together and codified this ordinance, which really promotes what Newton has been doing and practiced for many years, keeping us all safe, regardless of immigration status. So I thank you. I congratulate you. This is the way government should work. It's people and residents coming together with our legislative body and the executive and putting together good, solid legislation that has the right outcome for all people in the city. So thank you. I also want to acknowledge, as I always do, one person that is here that I truly appreciate. You know, there's like a little mayor's club that we have. Mayor Cohen was one of the folks that worked with us very closely to get this ordinance to final fruition. He's here. Thank you for your service, Mayor Cohen. He's here. Give him a round of applause.
Thank you for your service, David. To our city, we appreciate you.
This being my last day of the city, I also want to acknowledge this city council and the work that we've done together, in particular the president and vice president of this great body. They have been incredible partners over the last 7 years with me and my administration. And working together, we have done, all of us, this city council under their leadership, some really fabulous things for the city, and we've moved it forward. So I want to thank the city council for your partnership, but in particular, I want to thank President Lennon and Vice President Lapham. Please give them a round of applause for their leadership. There are many department heads that are here. They are first-class leaders here in the city. 24 of them implement, lead, work every day for our city. Give them a round of applause as well. Our great employees of the city on the municipal side and Newton Public Schools have been amazing to work with over the last several years. They work every day. Their names are not often mentioned in the paper words of thanks, but they do their jobs, in the words of a famous coach, every single day, and they make it happen for the citizens of Newton. Give them a round of applause, please. And then, finally, just a couple other folks, and then I'll get started here. I know State Representative Kay Conn was here, Senator Cindy Cream was here as well, and I know there's some members of the school committee that are here. Elected officials in today's life are in for a long haul. We are in a complicated environment. And it will take a lot of patience, listening, and understanding to make decisions for this city. And I appreciate your service, all elected officials, including the ones I mentioned, and your continued work for us. Give them a round of applause as well. Last but not least, my wife, Tassie, and two children, John and Abigail. I hope my kids are asleep right now, but I know Tassie kept them up a little bit to watch this on TV, to watch their dad and watch, obviously, Tassie, her husband, deliver this speech. If it weren't for them and their support, I would not be able to do this job. Please give them a round of applause. My family. When I arrived home from a year-long deployment in Iraq as a Navy intelligence specialist in 2008, Tassie and I together made a final decision that I'd run for mayor of Newton, a place where I grew up, a place that I love. After being in a war zone for a year away from them and having the opportunity to come home, to a place that gave me incredible opportunities in life, I knew where I wanted to be. And so did Tassie. My family's commitment to public service and my love of the city of Newton and my desire to make sure it meets its full potential pulled me into the race for mayor. The residents of Newton gave me a gift that I will forever be grateful for. The chance to be mayor of my hometown and work to provide the next generation of Newtonians the same opportunities that I had. Back in 2008, the national recession was punishing to many individuals and families. It also had a terrible effect on our city's finances and on the housing market for moderate and low-income housing, the economic vibrancy of our village centers, and on our commercial tax base. Services, investment in education, infrastructure, and public safety were cut in the years leading up to 2008, putting our community in jeopardy of not meeting our full potential at the time or in future decades. Just as detrimental was the lack of trust in government, the poisonous, divisive politics that were pervasive in Newton at the time, particularly around the financing of Newton North High School. We needed to have a bold vision of a city government that transformed how we govern and met the needs of citizens in the 21st century in the ever-changing economic, social, cultural, and political environment that exists. I believe the reason for our success over the last several years is because of our approach to governance from day one around three principles. First, putting in place fiscal discipline and accounting for each taxpayer dollar spent so we are not being wasteful of money of the citizens of Newton, but efficient. Expenditures for my administration have been based on outcomes for people now and decades from now. Second, not being afraid to make tough fiscal and policy decisions based on achieving the best outcome for individuals and families to live up to their full potential in Newton. All these decisions have been and must be made with honesty, directness, and transparency. Third, listening and bringing people together to solve difficult challenges by identifying the common good and working towards that end with an eye towards the future. We just saw that happen tonight. These principles are based on my lifelong commitment to public service inspired by my family, 9 years in the armed services, and my love of this city. 7 years ago, when I first took office, Newton's financial outlook was bleak. The budget was on its way to having a structural deficit projected to be more than $40 million by 2013. By making turning the city's finances around a priority and employing fiscal management strategies, we have completely turned around the city's finances and eliminated the deficit we inherited. When my administration walked in the door, we faced a widening deficit with expenses growing by 2 percentage points, more than revenue every year, no rainy day emergency fund, a pension trust fund that had suffered a significant loss in principal, a lack of attention to addressing other post-employment benefits, or OPEB, the health insurance for retirees, and the AAA bond rating in jeopardy. Since then, with a laser-like focus on zero-basing our budgets, on making data-driven financial decisions, and on restructuring our union contracts, we have been able to eliminate the structural deficit and get our expenditure growth in line with our revenue growth. I want to take a moment to thank all of our unions for the great partnership and hard work we did together to get this done. The only way we'll be able to put sustainable contracts together was because of honest, direct relationship we built around transparency and integrity between the city and its workforce. So why do we say we've eliminated structural deficit? The difference is that in years past, the forecast was projecting committed cost and expected increases in cost items, a maintenance level of effort. Now, our forecast over the next 5 years and beyond reflects the many different programs and initiatives we have already implemented, as well as those we believe need to be implemented in the years to come. It is a forecast that projects what we are willing to conservatively project for revenue growth and what we aggressively want to fund as we continuously improve our infrastructure and our delivery of services to our residents. In addition to balancing our budget, we recognize it was important to establish a reserve fund for emergencies or catastrophic events. I'm proud to announce that our rainy day fund now totals more than $19 million or 5% of our operating budget, even as we're able to make forward-looking investments. Our pension fund, which had suffered significant losses in the class of 2008, has also been a top priority. While it was acceptable when I first took office to have a plan that fully funded our pension liability by the year 2038, financial sustainability requires more. Therefore, my administration has supported the Newton Retirement Board in creating a funding schedule aimed at fully funding the city's pension liability by the year 2029. Commitment to this funding schedule is an integral part of the city's plan to address OPEB liabilities and is therefore key to the city's long-term financial sustainability plan. Last year, we announced that a third-party actuary had confirmed the administration's funding strategy. which will enable the city of Newton to eliminate the city's unfunded pension liability by the year 2029 and the OPEB liability by the year 2042. The actuarial evaluation of the city's OPEB liabilities for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2016 continues to confirm the administration's plan is financially sound and sustainable. The valuation by Financial Risk Analysis, LLC, is in keeping with the national standards of practice, the actuarial profession, and is in accordance with GASB 45. We have been able to maintain our AAA bond rating with Moody's Investor Services throughout the past 7 years. For the first time, we also asked Standard & Poor's to rate the city. As many of you know, at the time, we were pleased to announce that Standard & Poor's had also assigned a AAA rating to the city. With this double AAA rating, the city of Newton has joined a very small group of municipalities that have earned AAA ratings from these two highly regarded institutions. And these ratings have practical implications for the city. Since January, these two highly regarded institutions have both reaffirmed their AAA ratings twice, last July and again last month, January 2017. With our double AAA ratings, we were able to refinance more than $90 million of previously issued debt and consequently save the residents of our city more than $16 million in interest payments over the next 22 years. Additionally, Standard & Poor's recent ratings report stated, and I quote, revised their assessment of the city's management to very strong from strong based on the introduction of a debt policy that formalizes historical practice. An assessment of very strong indicates that financial practices are strong, well-embedded, and likely sustainable. We used zero-based and outcome-based budgeting to ensure our department budgets were financially sustainable and sound, while also focusing on how each dollar is spent to achieve our defined outcomes, outcomes that deliver real changes in the services we provide residents and our community. Our administration believes strongly that climate change is a threat to all, and that we can play a significant role in protecting the environment while saving taxpayer money. Through significant investments over the last 7 years in energy initiatives, including solar, we will save $40 million over the next 20 years. As a result, since I took office, we have cut our municipal carbon footprint in half. We know energy costs can be crippling for many residents trying to make ends meet in our city. So in addition to saving the city money with our solar program, we were proud to recently announce a first-of-its-kind community share solar program that is currently providing net metering credits to 903 low-income households in Newton. A 660-kilowatt solar array constructed over the DPW parking lot at Elliott Street is generating solar power, and we are sharing these credits with low-income residents pre-qualified by ABCD who will be getting discounts on their monthly energy bills, totaling about $50 in savings every year. This is a significant amount for some of the most vulnerable residents in our city. From day one, we knew economic development and a strong business community could increase the commercial tax base, taking pressure off residential taxes to pay for critical city services at the same time add desired amenities to our villages. That's why in 2010, we worked with developers and the city council to create Chestnut Hill Square on the site of the blighted and abandoned Omni supermarket. In addition, we took advantage of the state's iCube program to improve traffic design on Route 9 in conjunction with the project. The Chestnut Hill Square project is now generating additional revenue annually for the city of Newton. The Chestnut Hill Square project and Route 9 inspired WS Development to create the street, vastly improving the corridor with great amenities and retail, as well as strengthening our commercial tax base. I was also proud to cut the ribbon last month to open Rockport's world headquarters in the one and only West Newton. We have also worked to make it easier for current and new businesses to thrive in Newton by instituting one-stop shop for them. The Small Business Center offers a wide range of resources, including access to the city's departments that will be most useful to them, to city programs that assist small businesses, and to additional state resources. We have worked with the retail community to make Newton friendlier to restaurant owners so as to enliven our village centers. This resulted in an increase in great options for our residents to stay in Newton and dine and shop locally. For many years before I took office, the city had not properly invested in capital and infrastructure, nor did it have a strategic capital improvement plan. One of the primary responsibilities of leadership, the city of Newton, is the preservation and maintenance of the community's school buildings, municipal buildings, roadways, intersections, parks, recreation space, water, and sewer facilities. Developing a longer-term vision for the city required a holistic review of all of the city's capital needs and the life expectancy of all assets and their component parts. Planning for the funding, maintenance, and improvements of the city's capital infrastructure is crucial in development of strong financial management. On November 7, 2011, the city of Newton unveiled a first-of-its-kind capital improvement plan, where prioritization was driven by different criteria specific to the values of the city of Newton and planning for future on based of combination of condition of an asset coupled with an understanding of the consequence of its failure. Throughout the past 6 years, we built on this risk-based prioritization process that we created. The resulting database now provides the necessary and appropriate context within the 5-year CIP that can be used to create a logical, transparent, data-driven strategic capital investment strategy that addresses infrastructure needs and school capacity issues, reflects community values, supports city operations, programs, and services, exemplifies sustainable financial and environmental best practices. In 2013, we knew that even with all the great work we did to implement fiscal responsibility, accurately assess our infrastructure, institute performance management, and encourage economic development, we needed to ask our residents for a tax increase to make the investments needed to make improvements. We knew that with direct, honest, and transparent approach, with a vision to move Newton forward, our residents would make a fair decision. Thanks to the people of Newton who recognized this need and passed the override we requested, we have been able to make Newton a better, safer place to live, and have been able to do it in a way that has not sacrificed the city's current financial health at the expense of making investments towards the future of our city. On the override, I'm pleased to offer the following updates. Work is currently in progress on Fire Station 3 and Fire Headquarters in Newton Center, which will have a new Emergency Operations Center, or EOC, which will help keep Newton one of the safest communities in the country. Fire Station 3 and the EOC are scheduled to be completed in June of this year and the headquarters this coming fall. This construction and the addition of police officers enabled by the override are both part of our commitment to supporting and empowering them with the best possible personnel, technology, and training we can provide. With the passage of the override, 2013, we have been able to pave 50% more roadway each year than in 2010. Our FY17 plan included work to put in over 380 compliant ramps at 71 intersections throughout our community. Made possible by the financial work that our administration has done, this fall, I announced an accelerated road paving plan. Using street scan technology, we have now assessed all of our roads, and we have an accelerated program to spend $100 million over the next 10 years to bring all of our roads up to an above average condition. At the same time, we are committed to doing preventive maintenance so that our roads do not deteriorate between cycles of paving. The override included funds for education, adding teachers and educators. When I took office, I committed to working to narrow the achievement gap in our schools. We've seen this happen in high school English language arts, math, and science MCAS scores. This community has been committed to investing in our students and is integral in their success. And this includes the financial support the community provided thanks to the override. When we're able to make investments, we see results. This commitment extends to our school buildings, including three schools included in the override package, the Cabot, Zervis, and Anger schools. I'm happy to report that the Anger school opened on time and on budget. Zervis is slated to open this fall, as is an expanded Cabot in 2019. These three schools are part of a plan to open five new school buildings in the next 6 years. Thanks to our purchase of the Aquinas property, we have been able to use swing spaces to minimize disruption and lower costs. A plan that includes a unified preschool, Lincoln Elliott, Horace Mann, and Carr schools, and a new intergenerational community center. As I started my second term, I knew we had accomplished a great deal. Getting our city out of financial crisis with a pathway towards financial sustainability through sound management based on outcomes for people, creating a roadmap to address our infrastructure, and making proper investments in education and public safety. At the same time, the nation came out of recession. I saw a growing divide developing in our city, economic inequality, and a lack of opportunity for people of all walks of life, ages, backgrounds, to have a chance to stay here as they hit retirement age or to start a new life here, like my family did over 40 years ago. The income gap here in the city is only growing. To address income inequality and promote my initiative of economic growth for all requires more than education and job opportunities with wages that allow workers to be financially sustainable. Housing, transportation, childcare, health, and wellness are all key to fostering a strong middle class. We must attack all of these issues in a comprehensive way. We have launched a number of strategies and initiatives to begin this multifaceted approach and to organize efforts to make these programs sustainable over time. In October 2016, Boston College President Father William Leahy and I announced a historic partnership on my evidence and research-based policy to increase economic opportunity and address income inequality in Newton. Transportation, housing, well-paying jobs, and a vibrant business community are all pieces of our Economic Growth for All initiative. Four working groups have also been established to work on different aspects of this effort, including our education cabinet, self-sufficient income, health and well-being, and innovation economy groups. A number of programs are already underway. One is the Mayor's Summer Youth Internship Program, which is going into its fifth year of operation. Beginning in 2012, with six interns and four participating businesses, this past summer saw a huge growth in the program, with 38 interns at 23 participating placements. This summer, the goal is to have 100 interns participating in the program. The program was created to increase summer engagement for students who need it most. It connects students with local businesses and increases their exposure to living wage career pathways. This year, we have a heavy focus on startups, STEM-oriented businesses, and medical placements. We believe, and research shows, that internship opportunities for high school students lead to those students having and making more economically sound career choices. The Education Cabinet, which is part of the Harvard Graduate School of Education's By All Means program, a two-year effort pilot to find ways to close the achievement gap in six U.S. cities, is working on two projects, out-of-school programming for middle school students, and evaluating options to make quality pre-K programming available for all Newton children. The research of the benefits of pre-K, both for children and parents, is driving force behind this. Children and families struggling to make ends meet in our city and region will benefit from our Empath pilot and 1294 Center Street project. For the past year and a half, we've been working with Empath, formerly known as Crittenden Women's Union, on a program for low-income heads of households with children to bridge toward participating in an Empath mobility mentoring program in order to empower them with the foundation and skills to achieve financial sustainability. On Bridging Pilot, our program has enrolled 8 individuals and has assisted 6 others over the last year and a half. The 1294 Center Street program will combine access to housing with Empath's innovative approach to moving generations of children and families to self-sufficiency right in Newton Center. More diverse and affordable housing options are critical for Newton now and going forward. Newton, with its neighborhoods, schools, open spaces, and village centers, is a great place to live. However, the high costs of housing and lack of diverse housing options make it difficult for those of limited or modest means to move to Newton or stay in Newton. More affordable and diverse types of housing also have added the added benefit of strengthening our economy and tax base. Businesses thrive when there is walking traffic in our village centers. Moderately priced, diverse housing is also critical for businesses that need qualified employees to meet their workforce requirements. If Newton does not meet its housing challenge, we are in jeopardy of losing businesses and attracting them to our city. With the release of our housing strategy, we identified 7 sites with opportunities that have the potential to better position Newton in terms of economic development, transportation, and housing in the future. We have been making progress at these locations and will build on this with the passage of 2 ordinances. One to increase the number of locations where accessory apartments are allowed by right, and another that includes changes to inclusionary zoning to ensure that developers looking to build in Newton create a higher percentage of affordable and middle-income units in their projects. Our concentrated efforts move towards economic growth for all include our transportation strategy, Newton in Motion, which is being released tonight. We are stressing 5 areas for transportation over the next 18 months. Our roads program, village enhancements, bike share and facilities, shared transit, and smart parking management. For village enhancements, we are prioritizing streetscape improvements for West Newton Square that are already underway, Walnut and Washington Streets, which are in design, and Newton Corner within the next 4 to 5 years, since major improvements require coordination with the state. We are prioritizing beginning a bike share program within 18 months, expanding the bike lane network in the city, as well as more bike racks near transit hubs and village centers. We will also pilot a private public shuttle to transport employees to a work site during commuting hours and other riders around Newton at other times of day. As far as parking management, we will introduce kiosks accepting coins, credit cards, or the Passport phone app in our municipal lots, and explore off-site parking for employees of village businesses to free up core parking spaces near the village center businesses. The innovation economy is a source of well-paying jobs in addition to providing economic development opportunities for the community. We have established 2 innovation districts, the N-Squared Innovation District in cooperation with Needham and the Charles River Mill District with Watertown and Waltham. In 2013, I worked to establish partnerships with the town of Needham and the Needham-Newton Chamber of Commerce to grow the innovation economy in the inner suburbs and establish the N-squared Innovation District as an attractive location for businesses. Since 2013, the establishment of the N-squared District, the City of Newton and the Town of Needham have worked together to secure transportation funding from the state for key improvements to make the corridor more welcoming for current and new businesses. Renovations on Needham Street to make the corridor more walkable and bikeable and to ease traffic will begin in 2018. And renovations to the intersection of Oak and Christina Streets to ease the flow of traffic will begin in 2017. Neither project would have been possible without the hard work and partnership between the two municipalities. New businesses, their employees, customers also frequent other businesses and neighborhoods, adding additional vibrancy to Newton. In addition, the recently announced Northland concept for development in that area would be transformational for the entire region. Newton, as the first suburban site for the internationally recognized Accelerator Mass Challenge, is another example of our economic development effort. It also is an important component to the Economic Growth for All initiative. I established a partnership with Mass Challenge and the Cambridge Innovation Center to open the Newton Innovation Center, a startup-friendly collaborative workplace in 2016. The NIC is a valuable resource open to local entrepreneurs of all backgrounds to make an impact locally and globally with programming aimed towards giving young people access to the innovation economy by hosting high school students from the Mayor's Internship Program and sponsoring a high school pitch competition this spring. Opening the NIC has been a tremendous opportunity to encourage entrepreneurship in Newton. Since opening, over 60 entrepreneurial innovation economy enterprises call the NIC home today, and the number continues to grow. The success of the NIC demonstrates how Newton and other suburbs can be a hub for innovation and the new economy. Our demographic projections show that the senior population of Newton will continue to grow. A part of the Economic Growth for All initiative is to ensure Newton residents can remain financially secure into retirement and continue to participate in the community as they wish. Last winter, Newton was designated as an age-friendly community as a part of AARP's and World Health Organization Age-Friendly Community Network to promote planning to prepare cities to address the needs of rapidly aging populations. Led by the Department of Senior Services and the Council on Aging, we launched a comprehensive planning effort to engage residents in identifying challenges and strengths that Newton seniors and their families face in finding ways to best incorporate neighborhood ideas into the goals and action steps of the age-friendly initiative. Culture is an essential element of enhancing the quality of life in our city. I am so proud in the last 5 years we've transformed the People's Building, City Hall, into the Newton Cultural Center. This thriving center inspired me to found Newton's first ever month-long celebration of the arts 3 years ago. Planning is already underway for the 3rd annual Festival of the Arts. What began as a month-long celebration in April 2015 has now grown to feature events in April, May, and June this year. 93 different events have already been scheduled for this showcase of all of the different arts and cultural activities in which Newton artists participate. As I mentioned at the start of my remarks, I'm a veteran of the Iraq War. I know how important it is to ensure our veterans have the community and resources they need when they come home, no matter from what war. That is why in May of 2013, I created a first-of-its-kind veteran center. This innovative center represents a partnership with federal, state, city, nonprofit, and private organizations to maximize our capacity to serve our veterans community. This regional center is designed for veterans of all ages and branches of service. the Veterans Center is designed as a one-stop location where veterans of all ages can access a range of advisory services such as education, job opportunities, housing, transportation and child care options, tax, financial, legal, and health advice, and veterans appreciation. It also has created a community where veterans can socialize, and meet other veterans. Over a year ago, we recognized that we needed to do additional work as a community to ensure everyone in our city knows they are welcome regardless of religion, race, ethnicity, gender, or sexual orientation, or immigration status. With the spate of anti-Semitic, racist, hate crimes and hate incidents against young women and the LGBT community in our community, my approach has been to face them head on with transparency and the willingness to look at ourselves in the mirror and say we need to do more to prevent and track these incidents to comport with civil rights law, as well as to promote the consideration of diverse perspectives in our schools and in our cities, neighborhoods, and buildings. That's why over the last several months I have brought together over 30 members of our community to create the One Newton Initiative with the assistance of the great organization Facing History and ourselves. I strongly believe that we must create a sustained effort that will last years, not months, to truly ensure every resident feels safe and secure and welcome in Newton. I am calling upon all residents as we start this initiative, whatever your demographic or political persuasion, to pledge to actively join me. Signing on to the One Newton effort commits you to receiving communications and participating with neighbors and other Newton residents in activities, events, such as facilitated conversations, workshops, book groups, neighborhood parties, or simply one-on-one conversations. I believe that a strong community showing and signing on to the One Newton Pledge demonstrates our commitment to civil discourse and assuring that everyone in Newton, no matter their current or past circumstances, can count on their neighbors to meet the challenges of the 21st century and making sure Newton is welcoming and inclusive. Finally, this is my last day of the city. As you know, I don't see it at all as an end, this final year, but rather a foundation of what is possible in our city. I'm proud of the work of this administration and city staff has done and the progress that we've made together. I remember when I was a young high school student just a few years ago, a vibrant, forward-looking mayor, Ted Mann, called me into his office to help heal the racial division at Newton North when I was a junior at the time. That meeting we had in the mayor's office at age 16 demonstrated to me what being mayor was really about. Daring to make what might seem impossible possible so that one can make the lives better for people. With a guiding belief in the goodness and values of the people you work for, the residents of Newton. I answered his call then, and we all must answer the call now. I know there's no limit of what we can do and who we can be. If every city department, including Newton Public Schools, elected officials, businesses, and residents, follow the three principles I outlined tonight. One, putting in place strong financial discipline, accounting for each taxpayer dollar spent so we're not being wasteful with the money but efficient, and making sure we're focused on outcomes for people. Second, not being afraid to make difficult, tough financial and policy decisions for our city when we think about the outcomes of individuals and families of the people we represent. And these decisions must be made with directness and honesty and transparency. Lastly, making sure we all make a commitment, particularly in this time, this complicated political time, regardless of political persuasion, party, who you voted for in the last election or not, making a commitment to listen, bring people together to solve difficult challenges by identifying the common good and by working towards that end with an eye towards the future. If we commit to these principles moving forward as a city, we will continue to be one of the best places to live in the United States of America. And most importantly, and this is to the young people out there, there's a lot of young people that were here tonight and that are listening, we will inspire a new generation of leadership to be in government in our city. If we do these things, our best days will be ahead of us. The state of our city is strong and will be for decades to come. I want to thank you all for the great work we've done. I want to thank the residents for giving me this incredible opportunity to be your mayor. There's nothing greater beyond being a dad and a husband than being able to serve all of you. Thank you. God bless our city, our Commonwealth, and our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate you being here tonight and telling us about what such a strong city we have. And thank you for your service and everything that you've done. How about a nice round of applause again for Mayor Warren? At this time, I will ask that our escort committee reconvene, and they will escort the mayor out of the chamber. Thank you again, Mayor Warren. And at this time, seeing no other business before the council, I will recognize Councilor Yates. There is a motion to adjourn. All those in favor of adjournment will say aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We are adjourned at 9:17 p.m.